This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Here we are, live here on Instagram and Pet Life Radio. You're here with Dr. Jeff Werber, host the next 30 minutes here. And you are hearing me, seeing me, not from L.A. like normally, but in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And it's a phenomenal resort. Having a blast. A lot of great food, great fun. This place for the kids and the grandkids, it's like a water park. So that, I mean, amazing, these suits, everyone's having a good time. And including me, I love that stuff. I can do roller coasters. I can do these, that water park right there, you go straight down. That's the coaster I love. I don't know. Maybe I'm a daredevil. I'm having a blast. So, no, it's really, really good. Nitsan, Bukatova has everything. So anyway, here for you, if you're past any questions you may have, now's the time to ask. Of course, I saw some interesting stories that we want to talk about, but those take second place to you guys. So anything you want to ask, anything you want to talk about, then now's the time to do it. So I will start by, hey, B, if you want to join the show, which is okay, but I get a lot of people to hit the wrong button, myself often included. So it says you want to review request. If you really, really want to be on the show live, hey, Steve, then go ahead and give me a second request and I'll accept it. But otherwise, I'm assuming, let's look this way. Every time I've requested so far, a number of times, I got to tell you, I get nobody, they never answer. So I'm pretty sure that it was a mistaken tap of the button. So anyway, while you're looking to, get the courage up to ask me questions, then I will talk about a few things that I saw in my smart brief. So first of all, and this is not as appropriate for wintertime, but as a predecessor. So there's some cars, including Teslas, that have a feature where if you have a dog in a car, you can leave the air conditioning running. And this person did so in their car, left the air conditioning running. Well, I don't know, it doesn't say how long they left the car in, the dog in the car, but P.S., the dog ended up dying of heat stroke, even though there was the air conditioner going. So it kind of tells you got to be really, really careful, because what happens is when a dog gets into that, even an air conditioned car, they're pretty stressed out. They're doing a lot of panting. And there's only so big is that cabin of the car. And even though the air is on, within minutes, I think that we did a test once, 14 minutes. Now, this was without air conditioner. The car reached temperatures of 110 degrees. So that is way, way too much for a dog. And the more they start feeling heated, what do? They pant even harder. And they pant more. And that's what's happening. So be really, really, really careful. So question, go ahead, Eddie. I've been talking to your mom. Go ask your question. In the meantime, yes, I'm having a great time. It's very relaxing. And it's a fun place. It says we joined this club years ago. I mean, 15, 18 years ago. I don't know. And it was just, we got suckered. You got a free night if you sit and take this hour presentation. Whatever. I'm an idiot. I know it. So, but meanwhile, this was good because it's not a timeshare per se. You belong to this vacation club that interestingly was just taken over by Hyatt. So now it's part of the Hyatt collection. I've already been a member of Hyatt. So every time we stay here, we ended up getting Hyatt points as well. So it actually works well, but it's basically you get a 25% discount on the lowest advertised price anywhere on the internet you can find for the same room, the same dates. So, I mean, basically, and by the way, UVC, Unlimited Vacation Club, or now Hyatt, is part of Hyatt Inclusions, because Hyatt Inclusives, then it's pretty much you're getting the best price anyway. But anyway, it is, it's really great. So, for Hetty, our big dog Amber started peeing in the house, which has never done. What should we do? So first of all, if a dog, large dog, especially, that means a lot of pee to clean up. So I feel sorry for you. But if a dog starts urinating in the house, it's a number of things. Obviously, it could be urinary tract infection. Obviously, it could be are they drinking more water? And if they are, we have to also investigate why they're drinking more water. Is it something like a Cushing's disease? Is it diabetes? Is it a urinary tract infection? So regardless, there are, or it's just psychogenic. Is something dog, something freaking the dog out? And because of that, he's drinking more water than normally. So those are the issues. Now, also important to know, is she peeing, like squatting to pee, or she gets up from lying down and there's a puddle there? So that's a big difference, because that's called urinary incontinence, and that's something she can't control. But there are medications and things we check out. First, we have to check out the urine to make sure it's not an infection. Look at the bladder, make sure there's no cystitis, bladder inflammation. We do that with ultrasound. If all that's normal, then it could be just urinary incontinence. This is why many of us now will recommend that dogs actually have their first heat. We used to say spay them before the first heat. Now we want them to have one heat, not two, one heat before we do the OVH, the spay. One of the reasons is that the urinary sphincter muscles are more mature and they have more control. So yes, as far as, yeah, you can definitely wait till I get back. I'll be back in the office on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week. And again, no, it's not an emergency by any means. Now, as far as cleaning up, I'm not offering to come home to your house and clean up, because I'm saying it's not an emergency. But no, it's not an emergency, but no, we need to evaluate it. All right, hold on a second. Next question by Josh. I'm wondering why my German Shepherd mixed with Husky. After we walk, she's laying down and she gets up, walks on a limp on the left foot, but has nothing on her paws. So again, that could be muscle fatigue. If it's a big dog like that, I do worry about a knee problem, a cruciate injury, or a hip injury. So usually, now I always say that because the dogs didn't read the textbooks. They don't know. We don't usually see hock injuries as often. Hock is the equivalent of our heel. But hips, knees, muscle injury, muscle fatigue, and something in the foot. So if you already looked at the foot, and that was okay. So the next step would be to come in, we can look at the knee, look for what we call a drawer sign. A drawer sign is indicative of a laxity, a looseness within this stifle joint, the knee joint. Also, we'll take an x-ray, see what's going on. Unfortunately, the last dog that I saw with a problem like this turned out to be bone cancer. So I'm not saying this is bone cancer. This dog is a much older dog, et cetera. But whenever you have a large breed, there are things that could be. It also could be arthritis. What happens when you have arthritis and you're sitting too long, right? Then your bones sort of like tighten up. When you get up and they start walking around and movement, it loosens up and they do fine. So hopefully it's something as simple as that. All right. Loriano Hadas, good to see you. Thank you. Likewise. A dog I rescued, who I found an amazing home for. She's a small pom. Every time we take her into the car, she gets car sick. What can you do? She throws up. So that is very common. That is because, well, it's either true motion sickness, which interestingly, dogs don't have that often, or it's anxiety. And that's usually what it is. They get very, very anxious, and that's when they start vomiting. So what I would recommend anyway, few things. Number one, the short answer, try some Meclizine, Bonane, and see if it's true motion sickness, that should help. It probably won't. So now we need to desensitize. If it's just infrequent that she has to go in the car, talk to your veterinarian, give something like Xanax or Trazodone, something just to calm the dog down. Okay. And they don't get so freaked out and they can enjoy the ride. Now, if it's a situation where you are planning on taking your dog in a car often, then you want to desensitize. And that's a whole training procedure. It's going to take a little while, but it's well worth it. And as you start by putting the dog in the car, strap him down, whatever you do, start the engine, count to 10, turn off the engine, get out of the car. Oh my God, you're so cool. What a good dog. And then you give them their favorite treat. And then you do this every other day, 3 or 4 days a week to start. And then when they really get to the point where they love going in the car, because they sit there for 5 minutes and they get to go out and get a treat. Now, actually pull the car out of the driveway or the parking lot. Wait about 10 seconds, go right back in to your spot, and then do the same thing. Each time you're going farther and farther. Every time they get in and out of the car, it is fun. It is great. And they're going to get a treat. They're going to start looking at the car as a positive. Until you get to the point where you can actually, then the next step would be to go to your local, 7-Eleven or something, go in the parking lot, take her out of the car, sip, hugs, kisses, treat the whole bit, and then put her back in and back home. You keep extending these trips until they get used to it. Not only just get used to it, not only tolerate it, but they actually look forward to it, because now we have a very positive association with being in the car. So good luck with that, but it does take time. Okay. No meds. If no meds, then you want to do desensitization. Hello, Jill. We're doing great here. All right. Josh, and I say because we don't take her out for a walk and she's resting more. I don't see her walking with a limp. So yeah, that it's definitely worth having the legs x-rayed, because it's a big dog, because there may be arthritis. The more you walk them, they get sore, they rest, and the weaker they get, it's like those creaky bones. And then as they start moving again, they loosen up. So that's a possibility. Hey, Deb, how you doing? All right. Okay, my gum question. All right. So another story is, while we're waiting for more questions, getting up the courage to ask some questions. So this is a cue story. I knew about this, but I don't know if many of you have. So if I mention the name to you, Peter Ostrom, do you know who that is? Anybody? Well, that's the kid who played Charlie Bucket on Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Guess what? That movie was his last, first and last, I may have done something before. That was his last movie. All right. And what did he end up doing? He was in school. He ended up at Cornell Veterinary School, graduated in 1984, the same year I graduated, Davis. And he has been for 40 plus years, 42 years, a veterinarian, loving it. I thought that was really cool. So, he could have done the acting gig. He just didn't feel fulfilled enough doing it. And I don't know how tough it was for him to be in that movie. Maybe he had some, you wouldn't know by watching the movie that he had bad experiences, but very well could have. And he says, heck, I'm not doing this again. And he found his joy, his satisfaction, which I can definitely understand, becoming a veterinarian. And I thought that was a great story. All right. Another thing, you know, we've talked a lot about social media. Yes, it's great. And yes, you can learn. I always say, beware of Dr. Google, and a very good source of information, but sometimes even a better source of misinformation. So you got to be careful. So anyway, we'll get to that in a sec, Steph. So here's my point, that there's a new rabies vaccine. Is an RNA rabies vaccine, came out by Merck. Still hasn't been released yet. It was just being released, I think, in the U.S., but it's been in Canada for a while. And there, the Canadian agency governs this as much like our Food and Drug Administration. And they passed it. It passed all the tests. Apparently, it's very effective. It is very safe. And yet, these experts, and I use that funny, it's like in quotes, are people that are invading social media. They have all the answers, of course, because of their extensive veterinary and immunology training. I'm joking. There's none. And they're the ones that's telling everybody, oh my God, it's the worst thing. Don't use it. Don't use it. Be really careful. Okay. That it is, you'll never do your homework legitimately. If you're going to look at different at sources and someone's going to get online, check them out. Do they have veterinary training? Do they have training in immunology? Have they worked in pharma before? I mean, who are they that they're coming up with these? It's no different than the whole Librela, all right? Well, the very first big Librela problem that made news was a dog that had his Librela shot. That's that new shot by Pfizer. I mean, that's how old-fashioned I am, by Zoetis. Pfizer Animal Health became Zoetis. Anyway, Zoetis, and it's being blasted. And so it turns out this dog died 2 days after the shot. Oh my God, it was a vaccine, a new vaccine, et cetera, et cetera. Guess what? It was sent to an independent pathologist that did an autopsy. Guess what? This dog had a splenic tumor and it ruptured and the dog bled out. It had zero to do with the shot. But when people get online and they start doing this, then, you know, it's one of those things that you just have to beware and don't start joining on. Do your homework. I had extensive conversations. Now, I'm still in my homework stage. But I got to tell you something interesting. I am not rushing to use it, the Libra, but I have clients that have started using it. Oh my God, 6, 8, 10 months ago, a year ago, whenever it became available. And guess who comes in on a regular basis every 4 to 6 to 8 weeks for the Librela shot? The same people. I've had zero. There was one maybe reaction. The thing is, who are you using Librela for? Who has arthritis? Older dogs. So all of a sudden, a dog, an old dog, has a problem. You're blaming it on what he ate yesterday? A shot that he had less than a week ago? Now, think about it. These old problems with old age have been brewing. So there's no proof that is definitely because. Anyway, so we waited because we think there's maybe something else, and we gave the option to the owner. If it was real and we do another shot, we should expect then the same reaction, right? Or maybe one worse. They were willing because it helped so much. Guess what? 6 weeks later, we have another umbrella shot. The dog's been fine. So you got to take these things with a grain of salt. Anyway, stick around right here on Instagram. Okay, so we're going to break here on Pet Life, and we'll be right back here on both. But stay tuned here on IG, and we'll talk during the break.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back. We're talking about here on Pet Life Radio, when to pull, when to neuter a kitten. So therefore, because even cats, and I've had many, many cats over the years that had retained baby teeth, I would wait until once the adult teeth are in, 5.5 to 6 months, is when you can neuter a kitten. I wouldn't do it much before that. And plus, you want it to mature as much as they can. Now, they don't have the same issues as some of the dogs with future problems like incontinence. So I don't think I've ever had a cat with incontinence. I mean, I'm sure, I never say never. I'm not saying it's impossible. But anyway, it's important to give the maturation an opportunity to complete, and then you can spay or neuter, and I'm fine with that. For dogs, as you know, the larger the dog, the longer I want to wait. Why? Because larger giant breeds take longer to mature. So now they age faster, but they take longer to mature. So therefore, those big dogs, spay, neuter, I want them to have their first heat. I'll usually then spay them by about a year and a few months. I've had these big dogs that don't even get the first heat until they're 10 or 11 months or 12 months. So I said it takes longer to mature. But as soon as they've had their heat, I usually wait about a month, 6 to 8 weeks, whatever, and then I will go ahead and spay them. Neutering, it's okay. There's no heat cycle on a male. So I big dogs, I'll neuter sometimes when they're a year and a half, and giant breeds even two. But I definitely want to neuter them, but I want to give them more time to mature. All right, Tiffy, hello. Try buck. Let me see. All right. Real estate, Josh, how you doing? Rosebud, can you please repeat what you said about feeding large dogs on elevated dish? Oh, so it's not, I mean, because they're much bigger, the taller they are, the more they have to drop their head to eat. And that might interfere with swallowing. That means the food's got to go up and then it's go down. So it's not a scientific fact. It is just a common sense fact. Now, dogs that have esophageal issues and they have problems with reflux, those dogs is better because the higher their head, for the food to go down the esophagus into the stomach, it's more of a normal plane instead of coming up and then around. So it is said that dogs with problems with a lot of reflux disease, megaesophagus, which is where the esophagus doesn't have its contractility ability to propel the food from the esophagus down into the stomach, these dogs do better with elevated feedings. So That's, you know, what I do with my dog is not so much elevated. My Labrador, he is the classic, right, quintessential chow hound. He will chow his food down in 2 seconds, and I worry about that. So I use a feeder that is called a no-gulp feeder. There are lots of them on the market, different shapes, different, you know, methods to slow them down, but it works. It takes them. Now, my little dogs can finish their food relatively faster than the big guy, but, I mean, he needs to slow down. So that's the thing. Now, if you have a dog, a large breed, that has no issues eating and feeding the way he's been fed, then don't change it. It's probably fine. But if problems started, they ate too fast, if they regurgitate often, then I would try the elevated feeding. All right, next up. Hello, waving. Thank you, Stephanie. You guys would love this place. Next door is a secret. You know, it's even better. It's stunning. Okay, what else? All right, so we talked about the overheating in the car. And I'm going to give you something now that is more appropriate for winter. And that is this. So when you live in an area that has a lot of ice on the ground, these companies do what's called de-icing. They put things down on public sidewalks. And sometimes it's as simple as table salt that seems to melt the ice. But there are also other products that they're using that are other chlorides that have, you know, calcium, magnesium chloride, sodium, magnesium, things that are mixture that also do the job. But what happens, dog comes in, they've been walking on this ice that has been treated with these chemicals. And then what do they do? They're a little irritating to the foot. What does the dog do when part of it is irritated, right? They go ahead and they lick their feet. So what's happening is when they're licking their feet, they are ingesting this stuff. And this stuff can cause basically a lot of gastric disturbances, gastric upset, et cetera. Sometimes even maybe some imbalances in electrolytes, because the body is now fooled because these are electrolytes that they're eating. So my recommendation is if you are living in such an area, hey, Terry, if you're living in such an area that, and again, here in Southern California, we're not worried about it, but if you go up to the mountains or you go someplace to ski and you're bringing your dog with you, then you want to prepare them by either washing their feet down every time they come in from outside before they have a chance to lick their feet, which they're going to do, go ahead and wipe their feet down. That's important. Or you can get little booties. And these booties are protective for the feet. But here's my thing about booties. Some of them are all like leather with rubber bottoms. Those are fine for taking a walk and protecting the feet while you're walking. However, there is a problem with those, and I've seen it many a time. So here's my warning. They do not breathe. So what's happening is because they can't breathe, the feet, I don't mean the dogs. So now you have a dark, moist environment. And guess what? That is a perfect environment. You have between the toes, it gets moist. The feet are sweating. Where do dogs sweat from? We've been through this before. There are only two parts of a dog's body that actually sweat with equine sweat glands like ours. Okay? And they are, as you recall, I'm sure you do, the nose and the pads. If you hold up a dog's foot like this to their nose, it's the same tissue. Those have the equine sweat glands, and those where they sweat. So when you have them in these non-breathable boots, so and you leave them on all day, you forget to take them off or think that it's okay, that is a problem. Then we get wicked, wicked feet infections, interdigital infections, the bottom. It's a mess. Don't do it. So if you can find booties that have the rubber bottoms, but the top is either a mesh or it's a knitted material, you can leave those on longer. That's okay, because at least the material will let the feet breathe. But even still, if they're running around, spending a lot of time inside after the boot, take the booties off, put them on only before the walk. And when they get back, you can spend a second removing the booties or several minutes cleaning the feet off with like these, you know, safe wipes to use on the feet. I don't care. But the key is you got to do something to protect the feet. So, I want to make sure I have. So anyway, I'm going to be, for those of you who even care, but if you are clients of mine, I have a really crazy January. It happens like almost every January. So just so you know, I'm going to be out of town again on this coming Sunday, a week from today, and I'll be gone just till Sunday, Monday, back Tuesday night in the office, Wednesday, Thursday only. Then Friday, I go to Orlando for the VMX. VMX, by the way, is the probably, from what I hear, the largest veterinary conference in the world. And it's in Orlando. So we get so many European Asian veterinarians that come in because it's like a famous one. So I'm going to be doing my show live at noon because I'll be in the noon time zone, Eastern time zone. I'm going to have a special guest who is a specialist in toxicities and also behavior. So I have I'm not sure if I've gotten the doctor who is a toxicologist, but I know I've already got confirmation that the behavior guy. So for those of you, not next Sunday, this is not 2 weeks from today, save up your behavior questions because this guy is fantastic. He's lecturing at VMX in behavior. So any behavior issues that you may be having, save them up. If you know anybody that's going through behavior issues with their pet, have them join the show that Sunday and we will talk about it. That's great. So, and VMX is just, it's a blast. I love it. It's in Orlando. There's so much activity and it's a great way for me. I'll be there with Scribble Vet because I'm chief veterinary advisor for Scribble Vet. That is my favorite new toy. And that is that I don't have to write notes anymore. It is recording my visits with the client. It's picking up the history from the client's perspective, our conversations about, you know, more detail. It's then talking about, it's basically recording my take. In other words, you call the assessment. What do I think about what's going on with all these things? Well, my differentials. Those are the different diseases or conditions I think this may be happening. And finally, what's my plan? And then everything's written down in what's called a SOAP format. SOAPs is how medical doctors do have their records written. So the S is subjective. Now with us, we are going, the subjective part is from the client because the pet can't tell us. In medicine, human medicine, the doctors say, okay, Mrs. Smith, tell me how you're feeling. What's going on? How long has it been going on? That's the subjective part. Then you have the objective part. That's the doctor doing his or her exam, recording all the results. And then you have the assessment. The assessment is the A. Assessment is, okay, here's what I think is going on. Here are the possibilities. So here's what we're going to do. Finally is the P, the plan, and it's the plan, SOAPing. That would take, I would go home with 40 files a day, and I would spend 2-3 hours if I can even remember everything. Now, no time. I just review it. And everything's done. For my surgeries, I have a template. There's a whole surgery. I just have to make the add in how much of the drug we used, what suture material we use. Everything is there. It is just a godsend. So anyway, this company, Scribble Vet, which is, I think, number one, it's either number one or number two in the industry with AI Scribe. And so also what's great about it is, you know, I've had my clients for years. So we're like friends. We're not just clients. We talk about everything. I know they went on vacation. I know how their kids are doing. The kid, you know, Johnny's baseball game, whatever. So we talk about all that stuff as well. That's why I'm always late, by the way, in my appointments. But anyway, it's because I'm having fun. But when the AI gets to it and actually writes a SOAP, it eliminates all of that. None of that is in the write-up. It is so cool. So anyway, love that. So I'll be there with Scribble Vet. I get a lot of my own CE, we call continuing education, and that makes it great. Then I'm home for a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, and then it's off to another conference, one that's one of my favorite, and that is, it's Colorado Veterinary Medical Association, SCICE, SCI CE, and it's going to be in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. It is fantastic. We have like 6 hours a day of session. 9 to 4 on the slopes, and I'm a snowboarder, and I have so much fun in that conference. So, I had to miss it last year because the timing was off with VMX. VMX was delayed 2 weeks. It sat right on top of SCICE, but back to normal now, and I get to do that as well. So I'm having a lot of fun. All right, let me see any last questions. Great to know crucial behaviors coming from it. Yes, I'm a trainer. So We talked about it. Thank you, Vicky from Eloise Rescue. Great, great trainer. If you need her information, you can always get a hold, or just, you see it right here, Eloise Rescue. She's fantastic. And, training questions you have, but this guy is a board certified animal behaviorist, and he'd be a really great guest for me. So Vicky, you should join also next week so you can have some good questions ready. That would be super cool. All right. I think I just want to make sure I got to everybody, and I appreciate it. And all right. Not that I don't love spending time with you guys, but a beautiful day out here, 85 degrees, sunshine, and I'm going in getting some pool time and a little time with the grandkids. All right. Again, thanks for joining me. And if I missed a question, you can always get a hold of me. You know that anytime. And if there's someone else who is embarrassed or afraid to ask, which I can't imagine why, just you can get a hold of me here at drjeff@petliferadio.com. I'm Werbs_DVM. Well, you know that because you're here, or Dr. Jeff at drjeff.com, and would love to help you out. And, anyway, have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel here at noon in the East. I'll be in the East, 9 in the West, and right here in Mexico, it's 2 hours. So, 2 hours off, and, looking forward to it. Save your questions. If they're really good questions, not emergency, and you think everybody can benefit from them, especially behavior, then save them for next week, and we'll see you next week. Sorry, not next week. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Next week is going to be Kentucky. I'm going to be in Louisville, Kentucky. But 2 weeks is when the BMX is going to be. So save those questions, and you'll jump on in 2 weeks. All right? Take care, everybody. Bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.